What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 50. On this podcast, we're going to be interviewing Taylor Pache. He is a co-creator of a product called the Sciatic Stretcher, and it's an awesome product designed to stretch out pretty much your hamstrings, your glutes, anywhere your sciatica nerve innervates. And that's a big problem in today's society. A lot of people are sitting for hours. A lot of people are just simply tight through their hamstrings. That can cause a lot of pain. So this product can help a lot of people, and he's super knowledgeable about all that, so we're going to be talking to him shortly. But first, we wanted to do a check-in. So, Tom, how's your week been?
I had a great weekend. So, Saturday, I went on a little bit of a longer run. I went with my running group. So, there's like a test run for a race that's coming up in a month. It was way too hot out there, for one.
So you're going to Auburn, right?
It's near Auburn. It's called Cool.
Okay, but that, well, it's not cool, but...
Yeah. I think there's like 3,000 people there. They have like one gas station.
Oh, well, so tiny.
Yeah.
It was really hot, though, the past week or so.
So we started running at 6 in the morning. There was probably about 20 people in the group. That group ended up splitting into three smaller groups. So I was in the first group that came through. So
we did that just due to pace?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there was a 14-mile loop, mm-hmm. and then everybody meets back at their cars. And then we're going to do an 11-mile loop for everybody that wanted to, or you could just go home, kind of depending on what you wanted to do that day. And also, like, there's no aid stations out there. There's no water out there. So going back to our cars was a good option so everybody could rehydrate, refuel if you needed to.
So it was going to be either 14 or 25?
Yeah.
Okay.
So did the first 14 in that first group. The next group comes in, I don't know, 10 minutes after that. And we're just sitting around waiting. Like, my muscles cramped up.
That's not a good thing.
No, not at all. My muscles were cramped up. I'm, like, sitting there just hydrating, trying to, like, not drink all my water. But by this time, it's probably at least in the 90s. I got up to about 100 that day, so it was pretty damn hot. I'm just sitting out there. This water tastes so good. It's so cold. I'm like, don't drink at all. You're going to need this. Just sitting there just drinking. Probably waited, I want to say at least an hour, maybe an hour and a half in between when I got back to when I started that next leg of the race, or leg of the run.
Why?
The last group, I guess they got kind of lost and just took them so much longer to come in than everybody else.
Oh man, no thank you.
Yeah, but at that point I was like, well, I already waited. This is what kept running through my head. Well, I already waited 20 minutes, why not wait 30? Okay, I've already waited 30, why not wait 45? Okay. I've waited 45, why not wait an hour and a half?
Yeah, okay.
Or whatever that was. And, man, like, when we took off, like, I could just feel it in my legs. Like, they're just like, nope, they're just jello. They're just, yeah, hey, you already worked me out. Like, I'm not going to keep running for you. You already took some time off.
Exactly.
Like, they were just done. So I kept trying to push through it.
Were you the only one, or was this talked about?
So for the people that did the second part, there was 7 of us.
Okay.
So there was the top 4, and the top 4 of that group ran the second part.
Okay.
So we were sticking together, and then I just started fading back. And then there were 2 people that were in like the later groups that were doing it too. And eventually, like, I just lost sight of the first group. Like, I was running with them probably about 5 miles out of the 11. And then when we got to, I want to say probably about mile 8 is like I really started fading back in between that first group to that second group. And once I faded back and that other group caught up to me, they're just like, hey, we don't have it. Like, we're just going to walk back. And I went from, I was jogging, but only with my arms. Like, my feet were at walking pace.
Yeah.
Like, a grandma with a walker would have been passing me at that point. And they're just like, hey, we're just going to walk back. Like, we don't have it. As soon as I heard that, I'm like, thank God. Like, I don't have it either. Like, now it's just, okay, I don't need to push myself.
Yeah.
It had to be mid-90s, probably 100 degrees. It was 100 degrees when I got back to my car.
Yeah.
No shade out there. It's just like running in the damn desert. I was like, okay, thank God. Like, this is... I'm glad you were here to tell me that, because I wouldn't have told myself that.
You just would have kept going.
I just would have kept going, possibly injured myself. I was already starting to trip over, like, 2-inch tall rocks.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I was definitely out of it.
That sucks, though, because you can do that second lap if you were fresh. I'm not fresh, but you never stopped.
Oh, for sure. I've done. That's not, like, the longest I've ever run.
Yeah.
And the course wasn't that difficult.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, some inclines, some declines, but nothing too crazy. One of the spots I train at normally has a much bigger, like, hill and so much steeper.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way down, it's so much steeper, too. Those hills, like, really take it out of you. This thing had nothing like that.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, so that was my Saturday. Spent the rest of that day just recovering. Made sure I ate clean that day. Just kind of drank water. Didn't overdo it on sugar or anything. So Saturday, we go to the state fair. We go there about midday. And while we're walking in, I've never seen this, like, carnival game before. But it's just a bar, and the game is...
Hang
there. If you can hang there for 120 seconds, so 2 minutes, if you bet $10, we'll give you $100.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking at that, I'm like, oh, I could do that, no doubt in my mind. But I'm just like, not in the state that I'm in. I'm like maybe not today. So we just walk past it. We go on through the fair.
Well, side point, if anybody could do it, you being light and trained how you are, you could.
Yeah, I was just like...
I couldn't, not at all.
So in the state that I'm in, like 120 seconds sounded questionable. And I was also like, there's probably some sort of trick to this. 2 minutes is kind of difficult. And I wasn't at 100%.
Yeah, of course. Ran 20 whatever miles.
Yeah, like I was still like dehydrated. Like my pee was dark and like barely coming out. So yeah. I was like, that's a clear sign. Like, oh yeah, you're not hydrated.
Right? No.
Mm-mm. So I made sure, like, I was hydrating while we were at the fair and everything. I drank, I don't know, 4 water bottles. I even brought some, like, electrolyte mix with me. So and then I eat, like, a caveman turkey leg, which is, it says it's 1 pound of bacon. I kind of doubt that, but it is a lot of bacon wrapped around a giant turkey leg.
That's cool.
So overall, it's probably about 2 pounds of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Once I ate that, I was like dripping sweat. I'm like, okay, I'm hydrated now. And I felt great. I felt incredible after that. So I'm like, okay, good.
Ton of salt too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's probably just everything I needed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. An hour after that, we walked past the same game, but it was at a different spot. And this spot was only 100 seconds. So I'm like, oh, 100 seconds, I for sure can do. So I was like, all right, let me do it.
Oh, same rules. So same 10 and 100?
Yeah.
So why would anyone do the 120 second?
Actually, it wasn't $10 to get 100. It was $5 and you get a prize. So
okay.
It's like a typical carnival game.
Got it.
But there are some rules to it. So you can only do it like a normal pull-up with your palms facing away from you. You can't have your palms facing towards you. And you can't like alter your grip.
Yeah.
Have one hand each way. So I was like, okay, that's fine. That's the grip I was going to use anyway.
Okay.
You have to keep your feet... like underneath you, like you have to stand like in a straight line, like a pencil, and your feet have to stay parallel to the ground.
Okay.
I was like, okay, that's perfect. That's what I was going to do anyway.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, no problems. I'm like, not really overthinking this because I've never seen this carnival game anywhere. So I'm like, all right, whatever. Pay the money, get up there.
I'd be impressed. I don't know this story, but if you do this, I'm going to be impressed.
So I'm getting there. So I just close my eyes. I'm just sitting there, just breathing.
Some
breathing,
David Goggins shit.
Yeah, just, you know, just trying to like get in my like zone, just like some yoga, stuff right there. So about 40 seconds goes by, no problem. And then one of my friends is like, oh, hey, you got a minute left. And then as soon as I heard that, like, I noticed that the bar rotates.
Okay.
It's not a stationary bar.
Okay.
And I also didn't mention how big this bar is.
Okay.
Think of, it's actually probably wider than that. Like an Olympic barbell, you know, where you put the weights.
Yeah.
I think it was bigger than that.
Oh, you mean the ends?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's huge.
Yeah, it was really big. So I couldn't even put my thumbs like underneath it, like how you would grip a normal bar.
Okay.
So I had to like hook them over with my fingers.
Yeah, you're like cupping the bar.
Yeah. So all my digits were on the same side.
Yeah.
So the bar starts rotating and then it just slipped right out of my hands. Yeah. There's nowhere to go. And I was just thinking, how did that rotate with all my body weight going down on it? That shouldn't rotate. So I don't even think it was positioned on a platform. I think it's on like an axis, on an axis, like a car axle.
Okay.
And like how the wheels can just spin freely.
Yeah.
I think it was on something like that, and they just make it look like it's stuck
stationary.
There. Yeah. So like that's kind of the trick behind it. And originally going into it, I was like, oh, girls would kill this competition because mm-hmm. girls generally have a better grip strength to weight ratio than men do,
for
especially
sure.
if they're fit. Think of like a gymnast, they would kill it.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh no, they wouldn't do this at all because they don't have the like hand size
to wrap around it.
Yeah, you need to have like Shaquille O'Neal size hands.
Yeah, you need to be like 6'6".
But you need my body weight.
Yeah, not happening.
Yeah, so like it's a very small select few that can do that. And I'm like, okay, now I know that going in. I don't know if I can. I've been like trying to think of like strategies on how to do it. I was like pretty upset that I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But now that I'm looking at, like now that I'm thinking, oh, here's a trick. I don't know if there is a way to do it.
So I wonder if that $10 for a $100 bar is the same bar.
I'm sure it is.
Because that's really not fair.
It looked like the same exact setup.
Okay. Because even a stationary bar that's small enough to wrap your hands around, that's still hard as shit.
2 minutes? Yeah. I was thinking I can do that on a good day. No problem. That day was not a good day for me. But even knowing that the bar like spins and how thick it was that I couldn't like really get a solid grip on it. And like there's no tape or anything else around this bar. So there's like no grip at all. There's smooth. Nothing assisting you. I don't think they like oil that shit up, but they're definitely not adding any friction to it either.
Yeah, definitely not. No, the cars are not in your favor.
Yeah, so as soon as that bar just started like rotating just a little bit, it went real quick on me.
That sucks. But at least you tried.
I didn't even have time to like re-grip.
You just fell.
I was like, oh, hey, it's spinning. Boom, fell. I was like, damn.
Yeah, that sucks, man. Okay.
So, yeah, that's, if you're listening out there and you see that carnival game out there, it's not as easy as it looks. There is a trick to it.
There is a trick, yeah. No, I've mentioned that a lot. I think that happened in one of your college classes. Your professor had some sort of grip test.
Yeah, we have to do that as a class. Like, everybody...
And the girls kill it.
Yeah.
Or at least the ones that are half in shape.
If there's, like, a female athlete in the classroom, yeah. Usually they'll do it. I'm a small, powerful athlete, like, you know, coming from...
You're designed for that.
Coming from a wrestling background, so, like, yeah, I did really good in that. I don't think I won because there was, like, a couple soccer players in my classroom.
Okay.
So they're in great shape and have tiny body weights. Yeah, so...
Yeah, because I know me, obviously on my power rack, I have a pull-up bar, and I'll hang on it to kind of just loosen my shoulders in the morning. And, oh, you get me, like, 15 seconds? Oh, my hands hurt, forearms are tight. Like, my forearms always go first. And that just happens. Once you get over, like, 200 pounds, it's hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it really is.
Well, I was doing the math in my head, because when I do pull-ups, usually I'll do, like, negatives. The first one takes 30 seconds.
That's a long time.
Yeah, and that's from a pull-up. So, like, I'm really, like, exaggerating my muscles. Then the second one goes between 15 to 20 seconds. Third one's, like, that 10 to 15 range. So that's over a minute right there.
Yeah.
While I'm like stressing out my back and everything.
Doing work.
Yeah. And then there's probably like a little over a minute on the bar and I don't have any incentive to hang on longer.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking that 100 seconds I should probably be able to do. I did that like math in my head already and I was like, oh, I should be able to do this. And I was like, oh no, it's not a real bar and it spins. If that bar didn't spin, I would have had that.
Yeah, I bet you would have. Yeah.
Because I didn't feel shit. Like, my forearms weren't tight. My back wasn't used at all.
Mm.
There's like, nothing going on. I just think if you just move in the little bit, just, like, the slightest
You probably movement, just shift. You probably just flex your abs a little bit. Just yeah. Anything to make you off center.
And I think, like, the way that you are forced to grip it,
like, promotes it.
Yeah, it's going to promote you to spin backwards.
Yeah.
And once you have your hand spinning backwards, you're just done. There's nothing you can do.
Now that you know the trick, and if you went in there fresh, you could probably do it.
The only strategy I can think of is if I offset my hands, and that's one of the rules that you can't
do. That you can't do it.
Yeah, if you could offset your hands, I was like, oh, I for sure could do it.
Yeah. You should just do that just because. Just go there and say, hold on, I'm going to try this. I don't want to win nothing.
Well, but I should just get on the stepladder and just spin the bar and see how easily it spins and be like, oh, no, I'm good.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, that'd be good too.
Yeah. Well, so that's it for me. Just getting embarrassed at the state fair.
Yeah.
Oh, and there was a big audience. There's a lot of people watching.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just thinking it's you and your friends.
Yeah.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
I was wearing, like, a button-up and, like, had, a small shirt underneath, and I was thinking, like, oh, I'm going to take off the button up. Then I saw how many people were, like, around. I was like, no, I'm not really trying to. I don't want to, like, make this big of a scene and then fail.
And lose.
Yeah. So I'm so glad I didn't do that. I would have been so, yeah, so embarrassed.
Like, who is this tool on the bar taking off his shirt? Yeah.
So what's up with you? What's new with you?
Oh, that's funny. Oh, man, nothing like that. That's for sure. I wanted to talk a little bit about my milk experiment. So I know people out there who have listened to this know I've been zero carb for a long time. You know, the carnivore diet, all meat, all that stuff. And I recently introduced raw dairy back into my routine. So post-workout, I'm having a liter of raw goat milk. And actually, surprise, surprise, when I start messing with food, you know what happens at the co-op?
Do they notice?
No, they run out of it.
Oh.
Because I buy so much of it. They've been out of heart for a long time now. And so I ran through all our goat milk. So I've been using just some normal dairy milk now, which is fine. And it's about 50 grams of carbs with the cow's milk post-workout. And this funny thing happened to me last week where I was actually at work and I noticed I had kind of a euphoric feeling. Like, I just felt really good. And normally I feel fine. Like, you know, eat right, train all the time, I sleep well. So feeling good is my normal, but I felt a little extra good. And I was like, man, what's going on there? So in milk, there's these compounds called caseomorphins, and they're casein-derived morphine-like compounds that attach to the same receptors that opiates attach to. So just think, you know, if you take a Percocet or a Vicodin, they attach to those same receptors. So they give you that feel-good feeling. And I can really dial in what's going on with my diet because I introduce one thing at a time. So all my meals were the same, but the only thing I introduced was this milk. And so I really, really felt this feeling, and it's an awesome feeling. And this is one of the reasons why cheese can be addictive, because we've talked about this a million times. Sugar can be addictive because it kind of gives you a dopamine hit, and you feel good after you have whatever, an ice cream bar, some, you know, I don't know, like a Snickers. You feel that good feeling.
Yeah, that sugar high.
That sugar high, yeah. And it's quick and it goes away. But if something very similar happens with cheese, because cheese is just going to be really condensed down, concentrated casein. So milk protein is about 80% casein. So there's way more casein in that than I've gotten in my diet for the past, I don't know, 2-3 years.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm introducing way more casein than I've ever had. And so I really felt it. And honestly, it feels awesome, and it makes me super happy I did this whole milk thing, and I really haven't got too chubby yet, and I feel like I do look a little fuller, I feel a little better, so far the whole milk experiment's going great, and I'm happy I did it, you know?
Yeah, since I'm basically been forced to go dairy-free, since I've discovered that I'm pretty sensitive to dairy, the one thing I miss is cheese. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't miss milk. I kind of miss milk, but there's like, vegan alternatives, which are okay.
If something says vegan on it, I'm not buying it.
Well, it's just coconut milk.
I don't give a shit. If it promotes it vegan, I ain't buying it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll get that. But yeah, I do miss cheese. I'm not about to try some vegan cheese. I don't really know what all is in that.
Soy.
Yeah. Cheese by itself should just be like one or two ingredients. There's a lot of, I guess there's so-called cheese or cheese products out there that have a million ingredients in them.
Yeah, like 15 plus.
Yeah, I don't really do well with those.
And you tried specifically the same milk I'm drinking, that raw goat milk.
Yeah, I've tried everything.
And that is the most, if you're lactose intolerant from drinking raw goat milk, you are 100% lactose intolerant. Because that's supposed to be the most kind of safe milk for people to drink.
Yeah, all right. So it's a different type of protein. It's an A2 protein versus like the new version, like the A1 casein protein.
Yep.
That's in most of our American dairy cows. So it's definitely not that.
It has less lactose, has more enzymes in it to break down the lactose.
I've also tried like sour cream or heavy cream by that, which has no lactose or very little.
Very little.
It's not that, because those both give me issues. I can do butter, I can do ghee. I don't know what's so special about those, but those are fine. Outside of that, it's just, I don't know, I just got tired of experimenting.
Yeah, when you pay that price of one too many times, you kind of like, screw it.
Well, and I was experimenting with, like, raw goat milk is not cheap. Or,
oh my god, you're telling me.
Yeah, or if I get raw cheese that's been aged for 5 years, that's just not cheap. It's like $15 a pound, and I'm not really, that's a very expensive laxative.
Yeah, very yeah, very expensive laxative. Yeah, actually, price is something I wanted to touch on. So by adding in this goat milk to my post-workout meal, I increased my food budget $270 a month.
Damn, that's a
just
lot.
From adding in raw goat milk.
When's your goat supposed to come in?
I don't know, my bum-ass sister, she's like, she won't pull the trigger. Like, she wants to get, like, the perfect goat in the perfect situation. And I told her, I don't care. Just get me a goat, and I want some milk. Because I'm going to go broke drinking this damn goat milk, you know?
Well, you could have bought two goats by now.
Yeah, with the money, I know. Yeah, so, yeah, it's crazy. But, yeah, so that's all that's new with us. Let's get to the interview again with Taylor. He's a co-creator of the Sciatic Stretcher. Awesome product. So, listen to the interview, and hope you guys enjoy it. But before we get to the interview with Taylor, here's a quick ad about our coaching and meal plans. TNT, wellnessandnutrition.com, whole food nutrition rediscovered. If you are struggling looking to improve your health or optimize your lifestyle, you can sign up for a custom meal plan on our website, TNTwellnessandnutrition.com. Back to today's topic.
What's up, everybody? On this week's podcast, we have Taylor Piché. He's a personal trainer out of Sacramento and the surrounding area. He's here today to talk about his new product. It's called the Sciatic Stretcher. But first, we're just going to get to know him a little bit better. So what first got you into health and fitness?
I just had a general passion of pushing physical limitation. I grew up playing sports, played 4 years of college football, and was always just kind of naturally a leader, being team captains and just kind of leading by example. So I figured, why not just try to make some money off of doing what I like to do? And personal training seemed to be the thing. So I'm just really passionate about people's health, people's mindset. And so that's kind of what drove me to do what I do.
Yeah, that's good. Doing what you love, that's the best way to work.
Yes, sir.
What college did you go to, and what position did you play?
I went to Cabrillo College in Aptos, California, right next to Santa Cruz. I played tight end there for 2 years, and then I got a scholarship for my last 2 years at Texas A&M University Commerce, which is a Division II school out in Commerce, Texas, near Dallas, a little small town. But, yeah, we had really great experience playing for both teams, and... yeah, it kind of drove me to what I wanted to do for my career, I would say.
So with that, did you do a lot of, were you more strength-based, more conditioning-based, endurance? What was your specialty?
I definitely say endurance and mindset were my specialties on the field. I was never the biggest guy, so everybody I was lining up against on the field was probably 30 or 40 pounds heavier than me, so... I've had quite the brain traumas, but, you know, that's just with playing football. But that, you know, just my mindfulness and my willing to push myself kept me on the field. You know, therefore I started, even if I wasn't the biggest player for that position. I think that's kind of where my strong points were on the football field.
What did a typical workout look like? Like, you know, middle of the season, what were you doing? A lot of, like, clean and jerks, a lot of deadlifts. What were you doing?
So during season, we did a lot of strength training. Or if you were injured, you're doing, you know, rehab with the athletic trainers, which that is also a huge part of football, is just little nick injuries. You're having to rehab a lot. So I experienced a lot of rehabilitation with knees, shoulders, hips, any joint that moves. But typically strength training during season, doing cleans, we did a lot of cleans, we did a lot of squat, did a lot of bench, typical movements. And during the off season, summer, we did more so cardio, a lot of sprinting, a lot of sand workouts, still did strength workouts, in the gym, but more so endurance and learning how to catch your breath with lots of sprints.
Okay. Have you downsized since your college days? Like, do you feel like you need to carry around a lot of mass now, or no?
No, I don't. That's a good question. Obviously, with me saying that I was, you know, one of the lighter guys at my position, I was always trying to put on weight in college, and I think I peaked out at like 220 pounds, 218, rounding up to 220, obviously, because that's what athletes do.
Of course.
Ask that question again.
Just if you downsize after college, like if you just didn't need to carry that much mass.
Yeah, so I don't want want to weigh that much. I'm not as mobile. I prefer endurance workouts similar to CrossFit, circuit training, and just doing a lot of reps. So carrying around a lot of weight doesn't make you very efficient while doing that, or it makes it harder. So I typically stick around 205, and that's just kind of eating for fuel and working out for fun and, you know, just sticking to a healthy diet.
Yeah, so that seems like it's more of your natural weight as well, that 205. It's so funny when you see, like, retired football players, just how much weight they lose that first year.
I'm just
thinking of Joe Thomas and even Gronk. Like, I don't even recognize Gronk, and he hasn't even been retired for that long now.
Yeah, there's no need for it, you know? It's hard to maintain, for sure. I mean, I still work out, you know, every day, basically, and a couple times a day. But strength training and really exerting your muscles in that sense, that doesn't come natural to me, I guess. So that could be a thing too. But I definitely know some meatheads that just like to be meatheads and just put up weight, you know, so that's their natural thing to do. My natural thing is to be, an endurance athlete, I guess.
Okay. You know, you talked about injuries and dealing with the rehab staff. Did you suffer any major injuries playing football?
Yeah, I did. Junior college, I had a grade 2 MCL sprain, left knee. That was probably my biggest injury there. Didn't require surgery, just kind of rehabbed it. In Texas, I had 2 ACL tears, one each year, and then the first year there, I actually had a subdural hematoma, which the right side of my brain was bleeding just due to over impact. It wasn't really diagnosed as a concussion, but I spent 3 days in ICU and then continued to play football the next year after my neurosurgeon cleared me, which probably wasn't the smartest thing to do on my end, but I was competitive and I did it and I got through. So yeah, that was definitely the most severe injury that I sustained while playing football.
Yes, being in ICU, that's a serious injury.
Yeah.
Man, so what, is there a story behind that? Was it a big play or just an accident?
No, it was, like I said, it kind of got chalked up to just numerous hits, I guess. It was during practice one day and just started getting a headache. Progressed into me, like, being very sensitive to light, throwing up. And then they're like, you know, we probably should get a CT scan because... they prescribed me migraine medication, didn't work at all, just continuing to throw up, and they noticed I had a hematoma on the right side of my brain, and immediately took me to Baylor in Dallas, and then I was admitted to ICU, and they monitored me, gave me probably like 5 to 7 CAT scans to monitor the bleeding of the brain, and it wasn't getting any bigger, and it ended up getting smaller, and my headaches kind of went away, and then pretty much just signed me off after that.
Man, okay.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
Yeah, it was crazy, crazy time in my life, but it definitely made me reflect on how important, your health is, you know, how important just taking every advantage of every day, and, that experience in my life has definitely had a huge impact on the way I go about things and just the way I live life and, how quickly something can get taken away from you. And that wasn't even like an incident. That just came on to me, you know. So it was definitely a learning experience, but I'm thankful that it happened because it's changed my life for the better. So it's all good.
Yeah, that's good. Focus on the positive. Yeah, I like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so going back to your knee injuries, were they all in the same knee, or was it both knees?
So in junior college, my left MCL got sprained. It was a grade 2 sprain. No surgery required. It basically just tightened back up. I probably still have some type of scar tissue there, but I stay active and I take care of my knees. My ACL in my right knee was torn twice. one was actually during football. The other one was right after football season when I was wakeboarding in Texas. So they both didn't happen during football season, but one they were pretty close to football season. But yeah, those were both on my right knee, and I've had two surgeries on that knee.
So are you doing anything like extra leg work, anything like that to deal with those injuries?
No, I'm not doing any. I mean, I am doing a good amount of lunges, but I don't particularly focus on my right leg anymore. They're pretty even as far as flexibility and strength. I stay away from doing pretty strenuous side-to-side knee movement activities such as wakeboarding and snowboarding and anything that'll make your knees kind of move left to right. I do have a brace when I do want to do some stupid things with my knees. But for the most part, I just try to make sure both of my leg strengths are even. And that's what I preach to my clients too, because everybody has injuries, whether it's knee, shoulder, big toe or whatever. And I always just say, just try to match the other limb. If you have two of them, just try to, you know, maintain the same flexibility, and that's going to put you in a, you know, better situation.
So do you like train each leg individually? Like, do you do one legged squats or like one legged leg press, something like that? Just do one at a time?
I do, single limb exercises with my legs. For instance, I do a lot of single leg box step ups. It would be hard to do a double leg box step up, but so you do, you know, single leg box step ups and you're pressing out of the same leg, just like a single leg press would be. But yeah, I always do the same amount of reps. It's not like I favor one side. I was, and I'm always very aware of my flexibility left and right, whether it's my hip flexors, my glutes, hamstring. And I always just try to maintain proper flexibility. That's probably my main focus, because I'm pretty much always sore in my hips and my glutes from just all the activity that I do. So I just try to maintain proper flexibility between both sides.
Well, I mean, talking about flexibility, I think now might be a good time to introduce your product, the sciatic stretcher. That all revolves around increased mobility.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, the sciatic stretcher was definitely thought of through my training experiences. A lot of my clients, older clients particularly, or ones that have injuries or just, you know, heavy lifting jobs or sedentary jobs or just general stretching, using a stretching band and a lacrosse ball is what inspired the ball part of it. But you know, kind of I came up with this idea of sciatic stretcher, me and my co-partner. It's a 1.5-inch band with a ball on it, used for, you know, stretching your hamstrings, stretching your piriformis muscle underneath the glutes, stretching your lower back, using self-myofascial release with the ball, which is basically deep tissue massage, and then using band stretching with the band. As opposed to doing it like with the rope, the band lets you sink into a stretch a little bit more, so you're getting that extra flexibility. But stretching your piriformis muscles, your hamstring muscles, your back muscles, your butt muscles, all on a regular basis is going to keep you away from sciatic pain if you're having piriformisitis, which is a common sciatica pain that people deal with, you know, sitting all day or riding in a car all day, or just not focusing on the stretching. It's a really simple tool that we made so you can carry it around and you can take it to work, you can take it to the gym. I use it every day, so it's not like athletes can't benefit from it. You can also utilize this product to stretch your upper body. You can loop the band around a pull-up bar or any stationary, you know, area to stretch your upper body. If you do a lot of benching, you can stretch your pecs out pretty good utilizing the band. You can also target the ball anywhere on your body that you want to provide self-myofascial release, whether it's your neck, which is another common area of tightness. So it's a very universal product. Called it the sciatic stretcher because I know a lot of this country and probably the world deals with back pain or sciatic pain at some point in their life, as gravity's always pushing our spine down and making it hard for us to maintain proper posture. So allowing us to stand upright a little bit more with this product, the sciatic stretcher.
Yeah, I watched your Kickstarter video, and honestly, you have a customer in me 100% because I use a lacrosse ball right now, mainly for my glute and hamstring area, and no doubt, maybe half the times I use it, the lacrosse ball kind of, it shoots out from my leg, it kind of dislodges from the location, and it's hard to keep it in place. So to have that band there to stabilize it was like a brilliant idea.
Yeah, and that's what it's used for. You know, especially people try to roll out with a lacrosse ball or a tennis ball on their back, and they're trying to position it, but their upper body flexibility might not be there, so they're having a hard time getting it in the spot, as opposed to, you know, creeping down the wall and moving your body way away from it. Utilize the band to position the ball, and then from there, you obviously either put more body weight against the wall or the ground you can use it on in order to position it and be able to relax the muscle, because that's really the whole point of it, is when the ball's on there and when you're stretching with the band, you want to be able to relax the muscle that you're trying to target, because if you're not, then you're not stretching the muscle, you're contracting the muscle. So being able to stretch properly is kind of the basis behind this product as well.
Yeah, I love that there's a band on it, because for my upper body, like the probably the most tight part on my back is right in between the shoulder blades, and I can barely reach that, so I can't really massage myself. And what I've been doing,
the struggle is real. That shoulder mobility.
Yeah.
We like to lift. I know that. So we got poor flexibility in our upper body. I already know that.
Yeah. So like, what I'll do is I'll lay down on the ground with a tennis ball, but I feel like I'm putting like too much pressure on my back that way, and I just can't really get the mobility. This product looked like it would be perfect for that.
Yeah, I like to use it between my shoulder blades. That's a really good target area, you know, for people that like to lift in general and people that want to practice their posture. So it's a good universal product for, you know, people in pain that really need to stretch a lot, you know, that may not be as active as an athlete or somebody that works out on a regular basis, but also good for them too to just maintain your body feeling good if you're always constantly sore, you know?
Yeah, I can attest to the power of stretching and the power of mobility, because I have an old back injury. So I herniated 3 discs in my lower back when I was 16. And from deadlifting, just being a really dumb bro in the gym and not knowing what I was doing properly. And I've been dealing with that injury ever since, but I've recently incorporated about a 20-minute stretch routine, really focusing on my hips and lower body before I work out, and it makes a world of difference. Like, when your hamstrings are tight, when your glutes are tight, you don't realize it, but it'll affect you the entire day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it really will. So I can recommend, man, just get your lower body loose. You'll notice a difference. You'll just feel better all day.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think the big culprit is, you know, us sitting a lot. Even as a, you know, even for me being active, being in the gym all day, walking around, coaching clients, or me working out, I feel like I sit a lot during the day. You know, whatever I'm doing, if it's desk work and just focusing on your posture, it's still hard for me. So it's something that you constantly need to be aware of. It's just your posture and keeping your spine upright and maintaining. All that is just maintaining flexibility at the end of the day. So I think posture is a huge, huge thing in everybody's life.
Yeah, I just wish I knew this when I was 18.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, I understand the older listeners out there understand what it's like to be stiff. But when you're 18 and you feel fine, you don't appreciate your limbs more than you do in your 20s and 30s. You start to feel those aches and creaks, and you wish you would have stretched earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I think injuries are inevitable, and we're all made up of our own injuries. Because I've been training for over 5 years now, and Every person I've met, they all have an injury, no matter how young or how old. I can ask them, what kind of injuries do you have? Even if they say, oh, I don't have any injuries, they're going to bring up that one time when they sprained their toe really bad and it broke their bone or whatever it was, but that can affect their posture so much. Definitely that knowledge growing up would have been pretty key. But like I said, injuries are pretty inevitable here in this life.
Yeah, they are. That's true.
Yeah, nobody's walking around in a plastic bubble all the time.
Right, bubble boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so just to kind of go over something real quick for our listeners, in case you don't know what your sciatic nerve is, it's the largest nerve in your body, and it innervates pretty much all your hamstring muscles and then every single muscle in your body below your knee. So that's a lot of muscles. So almost everybody's going to be able to benefit from this in some sort of way.
Yeah, the nerve, it's pretty bizarre how it feels, because one of my clients can strictly remember her sciatic pain as only feeling like somebody was lighting a lighter on her big toe. She just felt it all the way through to the very, very end, and a burning sensation in her foot. And that was her sciatic nerve. And hers stimulated from not being flexible. And so it's strange to think that, oh, I need to do stretching techniques to get this lighter off of my foot. But that's how much the sciatic nerve, you know, how long it is, like you said, and how much it can just affect your body in so many ways. And it runs down both legs.
Yeah, people think when you hear the term nerve, like a tiny, almost like a fish line through our bodies. But the sciatic nerve is almost like a wire. It's a big, meaty nerve down the back of our leg. It's huge.
It's 2 centimeters at certain spots.
That's big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a dime.
Wow. Yeah, and even though, you know, the catch with the name sciatic stretcher, you can't actually stretch your sciatic nerve. You're stretching the muscles around it in order for it to not poke or prod or, you know, bump it or, you know, even move your bones that might be hurting it by targeting muscles. So obviously there's a catch on the name sciatic stretcher, but you're stretching and you're affecting the sciatic nerve. You know, that's what it's geared for. But don't misconstrue that you can stretch the sciatic nerve.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about the piriformis muscle, because that right where that muscle is, where the sciatic nerve is like right against the bone right there. So if that muscle is really tight, it's going to be pushing that nerve up against the bone, which will be really painful. So that's probably where a lot of people do have issues with it.
Absolutely, yeah. People that have sedentary jobs, whether they sit at a desk or they drive a lot during the day, even if you're commuting like an hour a day, that's still a lot of sitting. And you know, if you're not practicing your posture, which most people aren't, you know, they're going to have those tight leg muscles. They're in. And the piriformis muscle is definitely one of them. This was a common area for sciatic nerve pain for a lot of my clients that I've seen over the past 5 years. And you're right. It passes right through the L4, L5, and or it stems off there, and it goes through the pelvic region, comes across that piriformis muscle. And if that piriformis muscle is tight or it's you know, not stretched, then it can push up against the nerve, which causes, you know, almost a burning sensation in your foot, if you will, or other common symptoms too.
Did you want to mention you're a co-founder as well, Stephen McDonald? How did he get involved in this?
Yeah, so Stephen McDonald, he's one of my long life friends. We grew up together and played sports and all the good stuff. But he's also into fitness as well. He was in the Army, did 2 tours in Afghanistan, did 4 years in the Army. And he experienced back pain himself. He's seen the military. You know, active guys that are protecting our country that have back pain. And he knows that this product would have benefited them, you know, if they had it. You know, just flexibility, carrying a ruck pack, 40 pounds, 60 pounds on your back, that obviously puts pressure on your spine. And them not maintaining flexibility, which, you know, he found the sciatic stretcher would have definitely helped them. So that's definitely what inspired both of us, because we've, you know, both had experiences with people around us having back pain or sciatic pain, or even ourselves having back pain or sciatic pain. It's a great combination. Just, I know the guy so well, and he's a really hard worker. He's a great co-founder. And we designed this product through a couple different people, and it's really cool to have somebody that's just as passionate about fitness and health, and somebody that served our country and can attest to these things, to be on my team, and he's a great partner.
Yeah, that's cool. Sounds like a good guy.
Absolutely.
So what made you think to put the band and connect that to the ball? I mean, it seems like such a basic design, but I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, I mean, it is a basic design. It's literally, you know, it's a stretching band that has a ball on it. The sciatic stretcher is a little bit different than a lacrosse ball, even though it's the same, same density. It is 1 inch bigger in diameter, so it allows you to target those hard to reach places a little bit more, being like in the neck or you know, the lower back. Sometimes you need a little bit larger of a ball in order to make up for that that spinal arch, so that's kind of what differentiates that. But yeah, I mean, simple product. I used these two things when I was helping people with sciatic pain, you know, who I came across through personal training. So, you know, we figured, okay, let's attach this thing to the band. Let's attach the ball to the band, make it a little bit bigger. Our first concept was a spinning concept, where the ball rotated around the band. But for reasons of it not looking clean or rolling smooth, it didn't really fit. So we just made the axle stationary. And it didn't really make that big of a difference, because when you're utilizing the ball, you're not rolling it on your back. You're rolling it maybe 2 inches. So the band doesn't twist up like we once thought it would. So, you know, there was a little learning curve definitely through the last 15 months that we've been putting this product together. But we definitely know that we nailed it, and it's very universal. It'll work for any body size. We actually have a larger one coming out here in the near future, where it's just a larger band, you know, for people that have a bigger waistline and need to be able to, you know, reach the band around their waist and hold the ball on their back. So yeah, there's been a lot of trials and tribulations creating this product, but yeah, we're very happy with where it's at.
And so you have a Kickstarter. Is that how people can support you?
Yeah, so we're launching August 1st, 2019 on Kickstarter.com. Kickstarter.com is a platform to get projects off of the ground. They have a reward program to where you can basically buy the product for a cheaper price, and then other combinations of rewards for higher ticket prices. And you can donate as much as you want. You don't have to donate a certain amount. We have anything as low as $1 to as high as $1,000. And, you know, if you donate $1, we send you this electronic book or an ebook that provides sciatica information and just general knowledge of back pain and where it can stem from and what you can do to help it. So even if you just donate $1, it would be a huge help on this project. And we'll give you something in return. Right now we're doing an early bird special with the actual product, sciatic stretcher, which comes with, you know, the sciatic stretcher, a carrying bag, a couple stickers, and a pamphlet on how to use the product. It's very, very simple, and to the point. That starts at $34. So the first 50 people that sign up and donate on August 1st, they'll get the sciatic stretcher with all the bag, the stickers, the pamphlet, and they'll get it for the lowest rate of $34. After that, after 50 people do it, we're going to bump up the price to $39, which is still going to be lower than our cost when the Kickstarter campaign's over. So we're offering this product at a lower price on there. You have options to buy two at a time. We have an ice pack option. We've combined a sciatic stretcher and a ice and heat pack, a gel therapy pack, to just manage back pain. Obviously, ice and heat have been proven to help with alleviating pain. So we have combinations like that. You can buy 2 at a time, 6 at a time. And even if you do $1,000, you can do a meet and greet with the owners. I'll give you 3 free personal training sessions, and you get 6 sciatic stretchers. So if you donate $1,000, I want to meet you in person. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, that guy's your friend all of a sudden.
That's my friend. I like that guy. But yeah, we're very excited for the Kickstarter campaign starting August 1st. Follow us on Facebook. We have our Facebook page, Sciatic Stretcher. And we also have a login form if you're the first 50 people to sign up for that early bird special of $34. We have an email list going on right now, so you can jump on that. I think we're at about 40 of 50 right now. So we've gotten a lot of support over the last month here. We just started promoting. I think there are about 10 more spots there, but you can always, buy or just help us out on our Kickstarter page. We're trying to raise $12,500. Basically, that's going to cover our first order of 1,000. And I think we can do it. I honestly believe that this product is going to help a lot of people. But I'm definitely grateful for everybody that, puts a penny in for this product. But mainly, we just want to help people.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I'll tell you right now, you have 2 purchases from me right off the bat.
Awesome. I mean, yeah. You can already get in for that pre-order price of $34.
Yeah, no, definitely I will. And I'll get my sister one as well, because she suffered from sciatic nerve pain for years. I know she has. I know she always complains about it. So I think this will be good for her.
Awesome. Yeah. I'd love to help everybody out. And the thing is, it's not going to cure all sciatic pain. I don't want to misconstrue that, but it will help flexibility and piriformisitis, tight hamstrings, tight lower back, and like I said, all the other uses that you can utilize with the upper body and neck and all that stuff.
You know what? I was going to give this to her as a Christmas gift. I hope my sister doesn't listen to this.
Well, you have a few sisters, so maybe she won't know.
Okay, well, I think she's the only one.
You didn't say which one. It's okay.
Yeah, there you go. You didn't say which one. Still a surprise.
That's still a surprise. Okay, yeah. I thought this would be a good Christmas gift for her.
So what's the best way to contact you? Is it through the Sciatic Stretcher Kickstarter page, or is there a different spot to reach you at?
So right now our Kickstarter page launches August 1st, and so that's when it's going to be live and active and people are going to actually be able to purchase. But Facebook and Instagram, that's pretty much where we're at. We do have a YouTube channel that demonstrates how to use the sciatic stretcher. You can check us out on YouTube. Our name on there is just going to be @sciaticstretcher. We will have a website launched after our Kickstarter campaign ends in 30 days. Kickstarter campaign ends August 30th. So that's how long we have to raise that $12,500. And then after that, it'll be for purchase on our website.
So we ask this of everybody that comes onto our podcast. Do you have a tip of the week, something that our listeners can incorporate into their lives, like starting today?
Yeah, I did think a little bit about this. When Tom asked me, I was just going to give a really generic and cheesy one, but I thought a little bit more in depth about it. I was just going to say, invest in your health. As any personal trainer would say, but a little bit more in depth in investing on your health, invest in your mind, read books, invest in yourself, which is investing in your mind. It's a very powerful tool that a lot of people don't utilize, and you can help stimulate different things in your life and in your mind and the way you act in your relationships by investing in your mind, whether it's reading books or meditating or taking personal time out for yourself and concentrating on you and not worrying about what so-and-so said on Facebook. But invest in your mind. That's going to be my tip for the week.
That's a great tip. Very true.
Yeah, that's something that people can't really take away from you. Once you know something, that's on you. Like, nobody can really take that knowledge away from you. It's really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Taylor, thank you for coming on. Once again, you can find them on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Just search the Sciatic Stretcher, find their Kickstarter campaign, and support them.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Tom and Tyson. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, all right. That was the interview with Taylor. I think it's really informative. So, again, check out his Kickstarter campaign and support him if you can. But let's finish the podcast with a tip of the week from Tom.
So normally I don't like to do a tip of the week when we have a guest, but this one talks about something that I was talking about earlier. So on the intro to this, I talked about how I was running through basically the damn desert at 100 degrees and how I was like risking overtraining. So this tip of the week is don't sacrifice your health for your fitness. So climbing Mount Everest is one of the greatest physical and mental tests that somebody can do. But when people make their goal, it's, hey, I want to reach the top of Mount Everest. But nobody thinks about, hey, I want to reach the top and make it back down safely. And most people, when they die on Mount Everest, it's down on the descent because they've already hit that goal. They're not focused on the entire picture. And that's what a lot of people do when it comes to their health. So like, I want to be fit because I want to be healthy, but I'm not making my fitness a bigger priority than my health. So like, for an example of that is I could take anabolic steroids if I want to get twice as strong, but I'm going to damage my kidneys. I might even go infertile. So those are two things that are really going to damage my health. So those things are related, but they don't go hand in hand. You can the risks outweigh the benefits when you're talking about something like that. And overtraining is something I see with everybody, or not everybody, but a lot of people, especially in the running community. People are always, they'll run 10 miles a day. I was talking to a couple people that they were doing this heat run, 25 miles in 90 degree weather. They're going to go out the next day, same weather, run another 15 miles. And then the next day, they're going to do the same thing again. God. And it's just like, okay, yes, that's a lot of distance. That's a big enough stressor as is. You add the heat on top of that, that's such a big stressor. And we've talked about this many times. Like, you don't get bigger, stronger, faster, whatever adaptation your body's trying to make during the exercise. You make it during the recovery phase. And when you're introducing that big of a stressor, you need so much more recovery time. If you're not giving yourself that time to recover, you're probably going to do more harm than good. Maybe it won't show up that day. Maybe it's going to show up in a couple months. But what I was talking about earlier, like, I gave up, and I'm glad I did. Because if I would have kept pushing through it, there's a good chance I would have stubbed my toe on a rock, broken some toes, maybe fell on my face, gave myself a concussion, or maybe just got an overuse injury. A lot of, like, non-contact injuries are the worst type of injuries. Kevin Durant tore his Achilles off a non-contact injury. Most of the time when you see somebody tear an ACL playing football, it's when they're making a cut, nobody's touching them, and those are some of the worst injuries. Those take... For those elite-level professional athletes that got all the healthcare in the world, all the drugs in the world to help them recover, it takes them about a year to recover. It's going to take my ass that's broke, that doesn't have all these tools at my tool belt. It's going to take me a year, 2 years, and I'll probably never get back to the same. So it's always good just to think about the big picture. Like, right now, my Mount Everest is to run 100 miles. But I'm not going to run 100 miles if that means I'm never going to be able to walk again, or I'm going to... just like run into heat stroke or heat exhaustion in the pursuit of that. Like, no, the main priority is my health first and fitness comes second. And a lot of people just kind of like lose track of that.
Oh yeah. No, that's great. That's such a, I lose track of that. I am definitely at fault of doing that. And like if I had a unrealistic Mount Everest goal, if you asked me definitely when I was like 16 or 17, it would be to be a professional bodybuilder. It would have been to be Mr. Olympia, which is like the peak of the sport. And but in order to achieve that goal, I would have had to sacrifice my health 100% for my fitness. I would have been huge. I would have been jacked. But in order to play that game, there's a lot of drugs involved. And it's just simply not good for your overall health. Like you, Tom said, it's bad for your kidneys. It's bad for your fertility. It's bad for your heart. So... luckily, I got older, I got wiser, and I decided, you know, playing that game is not worth it. And just to train and stay natural and just put on a little bit of muscle every year instead of putting on, you know, 20 pounds of muscle in 3 months doing the cycle. So it's still, honestly, it's still something I struggle with to this day. Like in the back of my mind, I feel like, you know what, I'm just gonna hop on a cycle and put on 20 pounds. But I decide not to because I do value my health and I do want to be healthy for as long as I can.
Yeah, I mean, like if you do that, you know you're cutting years off your life.
Yeah, and if it's worth it for you, I guess that's your thing, but it's not worth it for me.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I kind of understand it if you're a professional athlete and that's the only way you're going to get that $100 million contract. That's the difference of you making $50,000 a year in the minor leagues or you making $50 million over like a course of 5 years, making it to the pro level. I mean, I guess I kind of get it for those people because that's like really changing their lives, but you're doing a lot of harm to yourself in the process.
You are, yeah. Well, all right, that's another podcast in the books. You can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, and please rate and review and send this podcast to your friends if you find it be beneficial to them. Especially today's podcast is something that we normally don't talk about. And I know so many people in my life that have sciatic problems, so this would be a really good one to share with your friends and family. You can find our podcast on SoundCloud, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. I hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.
And don't forget YouTube.
Oh, and YouTube. You can find our podcast on YouTube.
Yeah, we always forget to mention that.
You're probably going to have to tell me don't forget that every single week.
All right, check you guys next week.